This is Jordan Secchio. The Obama administration signed a secret document to lift UN sanctions on the Islamic Republic of Iran's banks. At the same day, Tehran released four American citizens from prison. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We are learning today some startling new revelations about U.S. concessions to Tehran after the release of American hostages held by Iran. The Wall Street Journal reporting that the Obama administration signed secret documents to lift U.N. sanctions against Iranian banks on the very same day the hostages were let go.
Now we learn from the Wall Street Journal these secret documents were signed by Brett McGurk, a top State Department official. One of the documents spelled out that two Iranian banks would immediately have sanctions lifted. Now, originally, these sanctions were not going to be released until 2023. So this obviously speeds up the timetable big time and is going to fuel even more critics saying, wait a second, Tehran got a pretty much a sweetheart deal. Those sanctions were choking off their economic power. Will they now be free to pursue their nuclear ambitions again?
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Is there any more important defense than knowing if any of those 750 people were terrorists or likely terrorists?
I agree.
What's the priority that would take precedence over that?
Sir, and that's why we are going through this process right now to investigate each one of these cases using the resources we have.
Is it true or false that the testimony of the applicant alone can be sufficient for approval?
It is considered, it depends on the case. There are cases where the testimony is not necessarily corroborated by documents.
Are you saying it's true or you're saying it's false? I'm just trying to understand.
No, I am acknowledging that, yes, testimony can be the basis for the grant of a refugee, but it needs to be tested against other information that we know about the country conditions at a minimum.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Thanks for joining us on your local radio broadcast, Sirius XM, or watching our broadcast on Facebook and Periscope. Some breaking news, and the hits keep on coming when it comes to the Iranian nuclear deal. Remember, at first, it was an agreement, a joint cooperation plan of agreement that was not even signed, not even legally binding. But the U.S. now, it's been confirmed, actually did sign agreements to benefit Iran. So get this, Iran did not sign anything as part of this nuclear deal. But let's add to it. Remember, we already know that Iran got $1.7 billion from the United States as part of this nuclear deal, which, by the way, allows them to continue their nuclear program and in 10 years really allows them to create a nuclear weapons program without international sanction. We also know now that a State Department official, someone I've actually dealt with in the Saeed Abedini matter, and it was back and forth, I'd say sometimes good relationship, sometimes not so great relationship, Brett McGurk at the State Department, we now know that that the U.S. government signed an agreement, a letter to Iran, that would lift sanctions on two Iranian banks that were sanctioned by the U.S. government for funding Iran's illegal ballistic missile program. Those banks were not even due for review for sanctions relief until 2023. They were directly violating international law and the international agreements and the sanctions put on Iran. Those banks have had their sanctions lifted. They are fully operational now. And we found out that the U.S., of course, they signed that document. They made it official to Iran. Add to that, the U.S. has agreed to release 21 Iranian prisoners, and of course the $1.7 billion. All of this, the same time, folks, that the Americans are released, and we were told that wasn't a ransom. It was quite a ransom for those Americans. Glad they're home, but this was wrong. We want to take your phone calls about it, 1-800-684-3110, and a special hearing. Four states file against this move and transfer of the internet. My dad is going to join us by phone in the next segment to update us on that. So we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And another release, Unholy Alliance has also made the Publishers Weekly bestsellers list as well as the New York Times list. We've got that up at aclj.org so you can see it on the New York Times list. We'll be right back.
The Obama administration is corrupt and unethical. In fact, it's the most lawless administration in history. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're committed to holding this administration accountable. We're in federal court to get to the bottom of State Department lies about the Iran deal. We're working to expose the truth about IRS abuse and filing critical legal demands with the FBI and Justice Department. And now the ACLJ is focused on exposing the truth behind a new watchdog report that reveals the Obama administration wrongfully granted citizenship to individuals from countries with ties to terrorism, individuals who were scheduled to be deported. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition to hold the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. My dad is about to join us in just a few moments because there is a special lawsuit. And Than, let's update people about this. You've been our lead, Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, on the ICANN issue and the transfer of the internet, which I know many folks are concerned about. Actually, do we have my dad now? He's joining us. My dad's traveling on the road. He's joining us to talk about this. First, Dad, congratulations on Unholy Alliance making two New York Times bestsellers list and the Publishers Weekly bestsellers list, and it's a big thank you to all of our listeners who got involved in our grassroots campaign because it had to have the sales to make it, and they bought the book, they'll continue to buy the book, and now folks will be able to reach that next group of people so critical with the good information.
Well, and I want to thank, as Jordan said, I want to thank everybody for your help on this and your support. It was a grassroots effort on our behalf, and as Jordan said, it's made two New York Times lists, which is pretty unprecedented, and also made the Publishers Weekly list. Came in at number 11 there, so we're very, very pleased with that. I am on the road today, actually, and I did want to jump in, though, on this breaking news issue, not just with Iran, which you're talking about, which is upsetting but not shocking with this administration, but folks, that's why we're in federal court against the State Department right now to find out exactly what this Iran deal was, because I don't think any of us know. So we're in federal court on that right now, but there is a hearing scheduled for about an hour and a half from now, brought by the state of Texas to stop the transfer of the internet from U.S. control to this international stakeholder control. And I heard Than during the break there talk about this is the last effort here. We are thrilled that the states have done it. I will tell you, we've already got a team here at the ACLJ that is, if a temporary injunction is granted, we've got a team at the ACLJ that will be filing briefs in support of that, and we may well be representing members of the Senate that wanted to see this transaction stop. So that hearing is going on in about an hour and a half. We'll keep everybody updated on Twitter and on Facebook about it. But the fact is, at least there is another effort here to stop what is, I think, an absolutely disastrous move. Jordan, this hearing set for 1:30 Eastern time.
Yep.
We will have updates during the day. And again, for those that are maybe hearing us a little bit tape delayed, we'll have updates on Facebook. And if they do grant review, we may go live on Facebook and talk about that for a few minutes if it happens.
Yeah, we've actually got calls coming in about it, Dad. I think if you could join us for just a minute more. Sure. Jerry from San Antonio, Texas is joining us. And Jerry, on line 5, thanks for joining us. I know you have a question about this ICANN internet transfer issue.
Well, if we lose it, Jay, can we ever get it back? I mean, this is awful.
Yeah, well, once you lose control, you won't. I mean, that's the fact of the matter, Jerry, is once control is lost, you're not going to get it back. So this is what's happening now. For just to update everybody, is the state of Texas and four other states filed a lawsuit to block the transfer from U.S. control to this international control. The judge in that case has set a hearing for this afternoon. It's called probably going to be a temporary restraining order or a preliminary injunction. If it is granted, which is always difficult in these cases, but if it is in fact granted, we will then be filing briefs in support of that order to have that order become a permanent injunction. Now, having said that, it is an uphill battle, but the fact that the judge hearing it and didn't just dismiss it out of hand is a very good sign, at least that there will be a hearing. And again, folks, I said on this one, it's going to be very difficult to win this because the president is committed to making this transfer, which I think is an absolute disaster, and so do a lot of other people. But the fact is that despite that, we've got to do everything we can to stop it, and that's what we're doing at the ACLJ. So we've been working on, I know, Than, you've been working on Capitol Hill. What's the sense now, I guess, throw this to Than here, what are you hearing now that this lawsuit's been filed? I know you've contacted Senator Cruz's office. We may be representing some members of Congress on this if it goes forward. What are you hearing?
Well, Senator Cruz and others, Jay, who are opposed to this transfer, they see this hearing today as very good news. Now, obviously, I think they agree with you that it's still an uphill climb, but like you, they want to fight this till the very end, and this is one more shot at it. Listen, if this preliminary injunction or temporary restraining order is put into place, what it allows us to do at the ACLJ is make the legal arguments in a court of law. So the contract that is set to go away tomorrow would essentially be extended for probably a number of weeks. It would allow us that day in court to make this argument. So to tie it back to the caller's question, there is a contract in place with ICANN right now. That contract goes away tomorrow if we don't get this extension. And so therefore, you can't get it back because you can't force ICANN, this multinational stakeholder group, to enter a new contract. The contract will be gone. There will be no claim to make. So, yes, in touch with the Senate, we hope to be able to have this day in court, Jay.
If, in fact, an injunction or restraining order is granted, we will get it, that information out via Twitter, via Facebook. We'll go on Facebook Live again if we can do that. We will keep everybody posted. Again, it's an uphill battle. I don't want to build false expectations here. But the fact that there's a hearing, at least we're still in the fight, and that's what counts.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your calls. Dan, one more on this, I think Than and both you can mention it. Sally in Lakewood, Ohio, is asking another question about this ICANN issue. I know, listen, it's complicated now because the congressional move to fight this is over, and now it's gone to the courts. The state issue, the states are trying to bring it up as an issue for them as well, which involves standing issues. This is about the injunction. You know, could they get a preliminary injunction to get then a full court review of this matter? But Sally in Lakewood, Ohio, what's your question?
Well, actually, it's sort of been answered, but I congratulate you guys and Senator Cruz on your efforts. But worst case scenario, if it goes through and the transfer occurs, could we as a country pull out and just create a new organization?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sally. The answer is not realistically, because the biggest function that ICANN performs is the domain names, which is what governs everything. And as we mentioned on the radio broadcast yesterday, that includes .gov, that includes .military, which is DOD. I mean, so once this transfer is complete, that's it. So what we've done is at the ACLJ, Than worked with our government affairs team in trying to get congressional action on this. Unfortunately, as we expected, there's no shock here, it was not successful. Than knew it was going to be uphill all the way. Then late yesterday, the states, several states filed a lawsuit requesting an injunction. We notified our team in our office in Washington, D.C. to be prepared to draft a brief supporting that injunction request if, in fact, a temporary restraining order is granted. That hearing is going to be today, and from that we'll make the determination if there is, in fact, a temporary reprieve. We will then, of course, file the main briefs. Our team is ready. They are already working on it. But again, uphill battle here. I don't want to build up a false expectation. But it's one where I said you've got to go swinging on this. I mean, if we're going to go down losing on this, I'd rather go down swinging than doing nothing. Because I think the consequences are so serious.
We're going to keep updating people on this. Hey, Dad, I think you're going to want to take this call, too, because Sherry, calling in from Stevensville, Montana, has obviously done a good job reading her copy of Unholy Alliance, because she's referring to page 209 in the appendix, which is the Iranian Constitution. She has a question about that. Sure. I can help answer as well. Sherry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just had a question of the powers and authority of the Islamic Consultative Assembly. It says it is the duty of the Guardian Council to determine whether a violation has occurred.
Right.
I was wondering, who is the Guardian Council?
That's a great question. I'm glad you read the appendix, and I'm encouraging everybody that bought the book to read that appendix, especially the Iranian Constitution. That Guardian Council is basically appointed and controlled by the Ayatollahs, and they almost become the Supreme Court, if you will, on these matters. Ultimately, the Supreme Leader of Iran, the Ayatollah, makes any final decision, can override the legislature, could override the Guardian Council for that much. But this is, again, the lack of transparency, but the lack of true democracy of any type, recognizable at all. Even if they use the right words sometimes in the Constitution of Iran, when you read it, as you did so thoroughly, you see things like the Guardian Council or the Revolutionary Guard.
Yep.
And these are the sub-organizations within the government that really control everything.
That's right. So you read their Constitution, which we've got the full copy of in Unholy Alliance, folks. If you read this, and of course translated to English, and I don't think many people have, you'll see the kind of normal separation of powers. But as Sherry pointed out, you'll see terms that are unusual. It's really a dictatorship. It's a dictatorship that has a legislature, but the legislature can be overridden at any time by unelected officials, like the Supreme Leader. On the Guardian Council, there's 12 members. The Supreme Leader appoints six of them from the religious world, and then the legislatures are allowed to appoint six from the judicial world. But ultimately, even though they can make decisions on what violates Islamic law, so all laws are subject to Sharia law in Iran, so that covers everything. The Supreme Leader could still override them as well. So you've got a full-on kind of double dictatorship in Iran, which you will learn about, as Sherry did, things a lot of folks don't know, in Unholy Alliance, a New York Times bestseller. It has made two New York Times lists, as well as a Publishers Weekly bestseller list, which is a more straightforward list just based off sales. We appreciate you. You can still get your copy, by the way. And if you want a signed copy, it's buyunholyalliance.com, a special signed edition by the author, my dad, Jay Sekulow. And you can still purchase places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think the bookstores right now are actually restocking, so maybe easier to go online. But we encourage you, if you haven't bought a copy, I know many of you haven't yet, buy a copy of Unholy Alliance, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or a signed copy at buyunholyalliance.com. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The Obama administration is corrupt and unethical. In fact, it's the most lawless administration in history. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're committed to holding this administration accountable. We're in federal court to get to the bottom of State Department lies about the Iran deal. We're working to expose the truth about IRS abuse and filing critical legal demands with the FBI and Justice Department. And now the ACLJ is focused on exposing the truth behind a new watchdog report that reveals the Obama administration wrongfully granted citizenship to individuals from countries with ties to terrorism, individuals who were scheduled to be deported. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition to hold the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. Call now 1-877 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I'm glad my dad was able to join us to give us an update on that lawsuit, which is kind of a last-ditch effort by the states. And we're thankful for those states, those state attorney generals, and in some cases governors have got to authorize that as well, who are willing to fight this in federal court. They were granted an emergency hearing today. That's at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those of you who get the broadcast later, just check out aclj.org and our Facebook pages. My dad and I both have our official Facebook pages, my Twitter and his Twitter accounts as well, which are both verified accounts. So if you don't follow us, they're easy to find. And the ACLJ account also. So we'll make sure if anything, we get any, a decision from the court today on whether to grant a preliminary injunction or if it's they allow a trial to move forward, we will let you know. We're not going to know that until after the broadcast today. It's an uphill battle. I don't want to put I'm thankful for the states for fighting it. We always want to utilize every option possible when we believe in a cause. And as one as important as this, control of the Internet domain system. So we will keep you updated on that. And I know Than Bennett will as well. But let's get back to this Iranian issue, because it's outrageous. It's disgusting to me because of dealing with these human rights abuses directly. You know, in my work at the ACLJ as an attorney and focusing on the international world, when I've had to work with folks like Youssef Nadarkhani, who were on death row and sentenced to be hanged because they were Christians and just were days away. But because of international outcry, ultimately he was released. Though he's been rearrested a number of times since then. He has not, but he's gotten out sometimes on very large bail amounts. So constant harassment of Christians, obviously. And of course, we all know more about even Saeed Abedini's matter and the other Americans, which this directly ties to. And by the way, Saeed, I know he's made statements about this, was totally opposed to this idea of one, the nuclear deal with Iran and the guarantee of then these Americans being released through this transfer of money. I mean, he's thankful that the U.S. government ultimately got him home. And folks, I will tell you, just so you feel good about this, that if we hadn't pushed in that grassroots campaign for Saeed and those three other Americans, the U.S. government would have gone ahead with this deal, still given all this money to Iran to get them to sign on to the deal. Well, not sign on, but agree to the deal. And the Americans would probably still be in prison right now. So we were dealing with an administration we didn't like on this issue of Iran, but we needed to get those Americans home. We ultimately were able to at least get enough attention from the Obama administration that they realized there was no way, as bad as we believe this deal is, that they could move forward with it if they didn't get the Americans home. And they made decisions to take extreme measures. But ultimately, because of you, it was on their radar. They knew they had to do it. And the Americans are back. That being said, we know one of those Americans, Saeed Abedini, was opposed to this whole idea. I thought it was a bad precedent to set for all Americans who travel abroad, especially those Americans who travel in places like I have many times, which can be pretty dangerous. And, you know, you're setting this ransom idea up. But Than, let's walk people through. Now we know exactly what Iran, for the most part, and we believe that more will come out. But first, the Iran nuclear deal, it's called a deal. They act like it's a treaty. No one even signed it. Okay, so it has no, it's not legally binding on Iran. But Iran got, at the international level, ultimate sanctions relief from the United Nations. That's part one. But it's also now coming out how much Iran benefited directly from the United States of America under the Obama administration. We all know now about the $1.7 billion that was transferred the same day the Americans were released. Now, Than, we've learned that more occurred. And of course, when it comes to the U.S., we were signing the documents. Iran's not signing anything, but the U.S. was signing this to Iran. Tell people, I mean, just walk them through. I mean, you got the banks, you've got the prisoners. I just want to explain this to people who may just be joining us as we refocus on this issue, exactly what we're finding out, how great of a deal this was for the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Yeah, on implementation day, Jordan, the day that all of this allegedly went into effect, we were told what the terms of the deal were. The problem was the terms that we were told was not even close to the full picture. And by the way, when we looked at the terms that we were told, we still thought it was an absolutely terrible deal for the United States. But since then, just listen to a few of these items that have come out in either what were side deals or secret side deals. Here's just a few of them. One, Iran can self-inspect several of their facilities. Two, they can continue their ballistic missile testing. Three, they were allowed to acquire a air defense system from Russia, which they had previously been banned under an arms deal from doing. And by the way, they were using that arms system to protect a nuclear facility that was supposed to go away under the terms of the deal.
Just a couple weeks ago, they were using that S-300, very sophisticated Russian air defense system, which Iran has paraded around. It's the same system that in their military parade we reported on a couple weeks ago that said, these can be pointed at turning Tel Aviv and Haifa and Israel to dust. That's a system they've wanted for years, and the sanctions prevented Russia from delivering it. Ultimately, Russia did deliver it, and so, yep, they've got that then, but continue.
Well, paraded around is the right word, too. I mean, literally in a military parade and put on YouTube for the world to see is what they how they displayed that. But a couple other things. They are allowed to exceed the cap on heavy water and low-enriched uranium, two of the things that they need to build a nuclear bomb. And then the one that we learned today, Jordan, the fact that the United States committed to supporting the removal of these UN sanctions that were not supposed to go away till 10 years from now. That's what we were told. It's a 10-year breakout time, which is why these sanctions were supposed to stay in place for the next decade. The United States then agreed to support the removal of those UN sanctions. And Jordan, I guarantee you, within the next month, we will know more, because this is not the end of the deal.
No, absolutely not. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan has issued this statement. I want to read it for folks. This is in response to what we're finding out about Iran today. This story grows more disturbing each passing day. It now appears that on the same day American hostages were freed from Iran, the administration not only agreed to the $1.7 billion cash ransom payment, but violated, now this is interesting, Than, violated a key term of the nuclear deal by prematurely lifting ballistic missile sanctions. These additional secret concessions directly jeopardize our national security and cast further doubt on this flimsy agreement. President Obama owes the American people an immediate explanation. Than, I know time is kind of running out for this Congress, but if the pressure gets high enough, I think we'll all have to analyze this. This just broke this morning. If the pressure gets high enough, I would really like to see the President of the United States and Secretary Kerry have to explain all of this to the American people, not just use their deputies like Brett McGurk.
Well, have to explain it, Jordan, but I would also say the United States Congress should put these sanctions, the ones that the United States controls, back on the president's desk. He may veto them, but you know what? We learned this week.
Yeah, we did.
That on an issue of enough importance, the House and the Senate are capable of overriding him. So I think they ought to put these sanctions back on his desk. And I think you said the right word, Jordan, that he violated the terms of this agreement, because what the president told the American people about why this was a big, good deal for the United States was that he had prolonged Iran's ability to break out until at least 10 years. Well, we now know not true. We went immediately to the United Nations, and the United States supported immediate lifting of these sanctions of these banks that had been financing the very things that were supposed to be protected under this deal.
All right, folks, we've got a minute left in our first half of the broadcast. Remember, if you don't get this full hour of Jay Sekulow Live on your local radio station, it's the full hour is covered on Family Talk on Sirius XM 131. And we broadcast both through ACLJ.org. You can watch our broadcast and listen if you can't view the videos. And you can also watch on Facebook and Periscope the full hour. For those of you on the phones, Luke, Raj, Dan, Dave, Nancy, and Joshua, hang on. We will take your phone calls in the second half of the broadcast. And we're going to get into this DHS issue with those 1,800 people who are supposed to be deported, dangerous to the country. A lot of people ask questions about this, so we're going to discuss how the U.S. government could handle a denaturalization process and walk you through that. A big thank you to those of you who made, it's all you folks, who made Unholy Alliance a two-time New York Times bestseller, two list, as well as a Publishers Weekly bestseller. You can get your signed copy at Buy Unholy Alliance or order through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We'll be right back.
The Obama administration is corrupt and unethical. In fact, it's the most lawless administration in history. Now the ACLJ is focused on exposing the truth behind a new watchdog report that reveals the Obama administration wrongfully granted citizenship to individuals from countries with ties to terrorism. Sign on to our petition to hold the Obama administration accountable. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
back to Jay Sekulow Live. A lot of folks have been holding on. Just to update everybody who is just joining us for our second half hour very quickly. First, the book, Unholy Alliance, which just came out a little more than a week ago by Jay Sekulow. The agenda, Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, is a now we can confirm a two-time a New York Times bestseller on two different bestsellers listed in the New York Times, both hardback, nonfiction, and combined print and ebook. It's also, and that was just came out late last night, it's made the Publishers Weekly bestsellers list. So that, again, is a big thank you to all of you. That was the first part of this campaign to get this book to more folks, get this. So we needed you to buy the book, and you did. And now it's going to get more promotion. It'll get more coverage. You'll see book reviews about it, better placement in the bookstores. There'll be more copies available. And so a big thank you there. We've also got it up at aclj.org, because though the list for the New York Times won't be in the print edition of the New York Times for a couple weeks, they're a little bit behind. They've already posted online through their site. Some of you may be able to view that, but sometimes they've got it blocked out if you're not a New York Times subscriber. So we've actually screenshotted it for you, and that's right up at aclj.org. I've tweeted that out. It's on our Facebook pages as well. So you can actually see and confirm what I'm telling you is correct. It's on that bestsellers list, and you'll see that official just the same way it looks in the newspaper. And it will be in the newspaper just about a week and a half from now. Second, we now know more about this Iran deal. It's not just the $1.7 billion that the same day the Americans were released. It was also an officially signed document that lifts sanctions on two Iranian banks that were funding illegally, by the way, Iran's ballistic missile program. Those banks weren't even up for review until 2023. They got immediate sanctions relief from the U.S., so they can do full business. The U.S. also in this signed document to Iran. I keep saying signed because Iran did not sign the nuclear deal. It's just agreement between countries with no signatures, not legally binding. Also, 21 Iranian nationals are having criminal terror charges dropped against them. And the U.S., of course, sent that $1.7 billion. I want to take your phone calls. A lot of calls, different topics coming in. People have been holding on. Let's go to Dave, calling in from Washington State on line 4. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for what you guys are doing as far as bringing out this stuff, the information that we were getting.
Thanks, Dave.
All these things are important that we do hear and know about them. But my biggest concern is that we're looking at a lot of the things from a point of view that isn't going to change things as much as what I was reading today is that God said, if my people will humble themselves and cry unto the Lord,
sure,
and turn from their wicked ways, that I will heal the nation.
Yep.
There is more power in us humbling ourselves and asking the Lord to intercede on our
behalf. Well, Dave,
Dave,
I'm not cutting you off. We're running out of little time in this segment. But actually, I was speaking at a church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Harvest Bible Chapel, a great pastor, Pastor Jamie Mitchell, and we posted some of the video, and you can watch all of it online at Facebook. And the final question he asked me, and it was for their Civil Sunday, Dave, was, do you still have hope for our country? And my answer was very straightforward and direct. I think, Dave, and for our Christian audience, and I know we're also on some conservative talk stations, so it's not trying to be offensive, but I said, for us Christians, we cannot leave out, we have to make space for the supernatural to come in and succeed. There are problems that seem so bad that we have to have space for the supernatural and for our faith to work as a faith that can move mountains. But we cannot forget, Dave, that as Americans, we have this unbelievable responsibility. We don't have kings and queens. We elect our leaders. So I think we have a biblical duty as Christians to vote, to get involved, and to fight on issues we believe in. So I don't think we can just give up and say, well, we'll just pray about it. We should always be praying about it, always have space for the supernatural to act. But at the same time, our country is a direct representative and our leaders of us because we elect them. We come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A big thank you for those of you who made Unholy Alliance a New York Times bestseller, made two lists. We'll be right back.
The Obama administration is corrupt and unethical. In fact, it's the most lawless administration in history. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're committed to holding this administration accountable. We're in federal court to get to the bottom of State Department lies about the Iran deal. We're working to expose the truth about IRS abuse and filing critical legal demands with the FBI and Justice Department. And now the ACLJ is focused on exposing the truth behind a new watchdog report that reveals the Obama administration wrongfully granted citizenship to individuals from countries with ties to terrorism, individuals who were scheduled to be deported. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition to hold the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey folks, I know we've got people holding on the lines. We want to talk about the internet transfer and that emergency hearing in federal court this later today. We will keep updating you about that. That's states who brought that. The fight in Congress is over. There weren't enough Republicans. And I make that clear because sometimes I don't agree with our Republican leadership. And it wasn't just the leadership, but elected officials. They would not stand behind Senator Ted Cruz and as well as Democrats who, again, I think this really goes to, unfortunately, I'm a big proponent of free speech being part of donating in politics, but part of the time, you know, you do have to have some transparency there. And I think this is the Googles of the world, the big tech industries. They line the pockets ultimately of kind of both sides, many of the mainstream kind of on the both sides of Republican, Democrat. And because of that, I think they see an opportunity to seize control of the internet directly. And that's why you didn't see action in Congress. But states have taken action. We've explained that on the broadcast. We're talking about, we'll talk about as well in later in the show again, this Iran situation. So if you're hanging on the line, I know Luke, Mary, Dan, Debbie, Nancy, and Joshua, all our lines are full. If you hang on through this segment, I promise you all we're going to do in the last segment of the broadcast is take each of your phone calls. You will all be on the air. But let me bring in Harry Hutchinson, our ACLJ senior policy analyst. Harry, we got so many questions about this. Comments coming in through Facebook and Periscope after our segment yesterday where we talked about the 1800, the threat that they pose. We've put together a memo as well on what could be done if the Obama administration wanted to take action and what maybe even a future administration could do. Let's say it's a Donald Trump administration. I'm not sure Secretary Clinton would. She hasn't been I don't want to speak for her. But there is a process where people who are granted invalid citizenship when the government is messed up to strip them of that citizenship. And these were people on deportation lists, not just people who got it too early in the process and so it was a little bit of an error. They either committed fraud or they were supposed to be deported because they pose a national security threat. There is a legal process that the U.S. government could utilize. We don't know if the Obama administration will.
Absolutely. And the legal process, Jordan, is reasonably straightforward. Under the law, a federal court may revoke naturalization, and we often refer to that as denaturalization, through a civil or a criminal proceeding if citizenship was obtained through fraud or misrepresentation. The problem is this is subject to the discretion of the United States attorney. It's right. Subject to discretionary action by the DHS. And so what is missing in this calculus is the will to prosecute, the will to proceed. And so if the Obama administration was prepared to go after these individuals who were wrongfully given citizenship with the same vigor that they went after conservative groups, here I'm speaking of the IRS,
sure.
This could be done relatively swiftly. The other issue, of course, is that the Obama administration is unwilling to devote sufficient resources. So in other words, the Obama administration admits that there is a major security threat outstanding, but yet is unprepared to do very much about it. And it's important to note, as National Review writer David French observes, that Muslim immigrants and visitors are responsible for killing more Americans on American soil than the combined militaries of Japan and Nazi Germany. So this is a serious threat, and that threat has been brought home to the American people quite recently. We have seen at least three or four terrorist attacks. Five people were killed in Washington State. Bombings occurred in New York and New Jersey. Stabbings occurred in Minnesota. And so this is a problem, but based on the testimony of Jay Johnson, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, he simply responds that we have knowable facts out there, but he doesn't have them. And apparently he's unprepared to vigorously prosecute individuals who have received citizenship wrongly in the first place. That's a problem.
Than we saw in Washington, D.C., and we're looking for the sound. And we played it earlier a couple weeks ago, last week when this came out. But basically when Josh Earnest, not just Jay Johnson from DHS, but when Josh Earnest, who was the president's spokesperson, the White House press secretary, he was asked about this in a press conference. And he just said, oh, we'll take a look. But as Harry was saying, all these definitive actions which are available, they could have immediately announced that. They could have said, we're going to take the actions necessary to right this wrong. And then that could have kind of, I think, put this to rest.
Absolutely.
But instead, Josh Earnest just said, oh, we'll take a look then.
They have no interest in prosecuting, Jordan, and that directive comes from the White House. And I think the sound from Josh Earnest that you're going to play illustrates that conclusively. But let me just underscore something that Harry said that illustrates it as well, because I want people to understand this. The Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security share the responsibility for initializing this denaturalization process. The DOJ, of course, has the prosecution side. DHS has the security component. Well, a week after this report came out, these numbers had been available for a week, and 1,800 people had been found to be naturalized improperly. They were supposed to be deported, and they were naturalized instead. And Secretary Johnson, under questioning from Senator Sasse, did not know those numbers. He was pushed on it. We knew the numbers, Jordan, and he did not know what those numbers were. It clearly indicated he had no intention to proceed further. I fully believe that same intention to just let this go exists at the Department of Justice, and there's one reason for it, and the Josh Earnest sound shows it. It's because the White House does not want either of these agencies to pursue it.
Yeah, remember this, folks. Here it is. Josh Earnest, when he was asked directly, at the time it was only reported 800. Now we know it's 1,800 and maybe more that were granted this improper citizenship. People that were supposed to be deported, I want to make that clear, they were already on deportation list. The U.S. government had determined they were a national security threat to our country, or they committed fraud in their immigration documents, both grounds for obviously immediate deportations and to be, you know, not go through the citizenship immigration process. But take a listen. Here's Josh Earnest. Doesn't sound very serious about it, Byte 70.
With regard to the 800 individuals, we obviously are engaged in an effort to go back and take a look at their cases. Questions have been raised about whether or not they are eligible. It doesn't mean they are ineligible, but that's what DHS is working to determine. And if they are ineligible, then obviously we'll take the necessary action.
Again, I mean, Harry, when you listen to that, they say we'll take necessary action, but it's under review. All these people are ineligible. I mean, they all
Absolutely.
Got it too soon. We know that. They could dig through the 1,800. If there's a few that should be able to go through the normal process, fine, but they shouldn't have U.S. citizenship immediately and be able to vote and take all the rights and benefits that come from being a U.S. citizen immediately. They could review. They have enough people to review 1,800 cases very quickly, determine out of that 1,800, are there 1,500 that are the national security or and also that committed the fraud, and those are the ones that should be deported. Let's get them into court. We could do it maybe as a quicker action. They could do that, but what I'm always worried about with this administration is that they talk about looking at things. They talked about the genocide issue, and they're getting criticized about that in the Wall Street Journal today. They talk about things. The action doesn't get taken. They're running out of time. So I feel like they talk about this, and then it just doesn't happen.
I think you're absolutely right, Jordan. And indeed, the problem is much worse than what we've discussed so far, because this is also connected to the refugee issue.
Yeah.
DHS admits that refugee fraud is easy to commit and difficult to detect. And yet, in terms of vetting refugees from Syria, the Obama administration refuses to make a simple, straightforward effort to learn whether such refugees harbor extremist views. We are willing, apparently, to take their word that they do not pose a threat to the homeland. So this is part and parcel of a pattern of lawlessness and incompetence when it comes to fighting terror. Apparently, Secretary Kerry, for instance, prefers to believe that fighting global warming is a more important issue than fighting terror. This is an administration that is incompetent, and I would love to see the political case prosecuted against this administration rather than spending our time talking about whether Miss Universe needs to lose weight.
You know, this would be something I think, I'm not sure it's up yet. I mean, we've talked about it a lot today, but maybe we can get this online, Harry, this document, because so many people want to know what the process is. And we've got internally, but we'll get that online. So people who want to know more about this, understand what the, you know, denaturalization process is, how the Obama administration could correct this wrong. So we'll get that up for you later today at ACLJ.org. We come back, it's the rapid fire round. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. Luke, Mary, Dan, Debbie, and Joshua, you've hung on, and we will take all of your calls when we come back on JSecio Live. Go to ACLJ.org. This is the best way to stay updated, and of course, Facebook as well, and Twitter later today on so much that's developing.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The Obama administration is corrupt and unethical. In fact, it's the most lawless administration in history. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're committed to holding this administration accountable. We're in federal court to get to the bottom of State Department lies about the Iran deal. We're working to expose the truth about IRS abuse and filing critical legal demands with the FBI and Justice Department. And now the ACLJ is focused on exposing the truth behind a new watchdog report that reveals the Obama administration wrongfully granted citizenship to individuals from countries with ties to terrorism, individuals who were scheduled to be deported. Stand with the ACLJ now. Sign on to our petition to hold the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live, our rapid fire round. We're going right to phone calls. But just so you know, Unholy Alliance, for those of you watching can see me holding it. By the way, still I know all of you have not purchased a copy yet. You could do it on, and we know that from the sales and how many people listen to the broadcast. But if you are able to, and financially able, great time. You can order through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also, of course, Buy Unholy Alliance if you'd like a signed copy. And if you do that at buyunholyalliance.com, you can get a second copy if you want to. You don't have to buy the second copy, but you can get a second copy for half off. The book, and this is a big thank you to all of you, has made two New York Times bestsellers lists, both hardback, nonfiction, and combined print and ebook. And we've got, now that won't be published in the New York Times in the hard copy of their paper for about a week and a half, but they've already put it up online, so you can actually see the list there. And we've posted it at ACLJ.org in case they've got any firewalls there, so you can see what I'm telling you is the truth. It's also made the Publishers Weekly bestsellers list. Big thank you. It was a grassroots effort. This is how we get to that second stage of reaching people with the information in Unholy Alliance. For our Facebook and Periscope viewers, you were just seeing that list there now. And again, you can still buy copies. Bookstores will be restocked. More people are going to be able to receive get this book that we're not reaching necessarily on our radio broadcast, or it may not be, supporters of the ACLJ may not be conservative or Christian talk listeners. But now they'll see the book in better placement, more copies. That's a big thank you to all of you. It's because of you this is a bestseller. Take sales. For us, it's not about the financial part of the sales. It's about reaching the people with the information. And you do that by making those bestsellers lists, which is no easy task. And when you look at some of the other books on there, you'll understand why. And a big thank you to you. Now it's time for the rapid fire calls. First up is Luke in Montana. Luke, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jordan. On the internet lawsuit, is it possible and would it be helpful for other states to join in on that lawsuit?
Well, Luke, first let me say you hung on for over 30 minutes, so when don't hang up right away when we're done with our answering your question. I'm going to send you a signed copy by my dad of Unholy Alliance, so we'll get your information, Luke. Thank you for holding on. I'll go to Than. Than, this is right now, it's in court. So there may be a point where more states can sign on, but today we're going to have, there's a hearing. We may have a decision by the court. So at this point, it's the four states. Yes, more could join, but it was a good thing to just take quick action and get into court.
Yeah, for today, Jordan, it's Arizona, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. But listen, we saw this in the illegal immigration case by executive order as well. After the case proceeded and was moving through the steps of the courts, other states joined on. Eventually, I think it was 26 or maybe even more at the end of that process. This would be the same. If we succeed today, we're going to be filing. Other states should join as well. We'll try to encourage that as well.
Yep, so Luke, hang on. We'll get you that signed copy of Unholy Alliance. Joshua next up in Orlando, Florida. Joshua, same for you. You've been holding for over 30 minutes to be on the air. So when you're done with your question, don't hang up. We're going to get your address and get you a free signed copy of Unholy Alliance. Thank you for holding, and you're on the air now.
All right. Thank you, sir. I just had a quick question concerning the petition. Since it's going to court and everything concerning the internet transfer, would it still be helpful to still spread out the petition and get more people to sign it?
Yeah, of course. That's up at ACLJ.org. Good reminder, Joshua. There's so much in the news right now. That petition we could absolutely utilize. Now we're going, and so people still have time, I'd say, today to sign it up at ACLJ.org. But I'd encourage folks, and just so you know, we will have information from the court likely later today. So we'll kind of know where this is going, and I think we can reassess filing amicus briefs. This was emergency action by four states, but filing amicus briefs, maybe starting a new committee. I hope we get to that point. That would be a good thing, that we can fight this out in courts. It's an uphill battle just to get to that point, just to get past the emergency review that the court has allowed. Back to the phones we go. Dan, you've also been holding on for 30 minutes in Hudson, Michigan, so you stay on the line. We'll get you a signed copy by my dad, Jay Sekulow, of his new book, Unholy Alliance, but you're on the air.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
my question is, who initiated and who approves of the transfer of control of the internet to ICANN?
The Obama administration. So this is a way to weaken the country. It's that week in America abroad. We had control of this. We didn't have to give it up. No one could force us to. No one was suing us to. It's the control of the domain system. Think about the power that gives our country. This is one time I don't love big government, but I'm glad the U.S. is in charge and not Russia and not dictatorial regimes and human rights abusers that like to silence free speech. We're the best country to protect free speech as of now around the world, even with the Obama administration. But they want to take that away. So it was the Obama administration. You can directly blame them for this, and you directly blame President Obama. It's part of his strategy to change America's standing in the world so that we're not the big superpower, to more move to that globalization. So, Dan, appreciate the call. Hang on so we can get your address and get you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. Let's go to Mary in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, online too. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You as well. For folks, you guys have been hanging on. We're going to get you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. So hang on after your question so we can get your address.
Thank you, Jordan. I wanted to ask a couple questions regarding the Iran-U.S. signed document. First of all, who signed this document? And secondly, if Congress was not aware, where are checks and balances and what can we do to prevent Obama and future presidents from signing documents?
Yeah, I know the person. I know the person who signed the document because we had to deal with him with the Saeed Abedini matter. He is the Deputy Secretary of State, Brett McGurk. We sometimes had a good relationship, sometimes not so good. I did not always like our advocacy efforts, but of course that's because we basically forced the Obama administration and his State Department to take action. But it was Brett McGurk directly, Mary. It was, he was following. I don't want to put too much on him. He was following the orders of the Secretary of State and President Obama. So it's not just him. And it's not trying to demonize him. He is, a Deputy Secretary of State. They don't act without the Secretary of State's authorization. And ultimately, the Secretary of State doesn't act without the President's authorization. The checks and balances, they're not here because this is not a binding document. So you can blame this on the President directly and his team and his decision-making. It was wrong, and I think we could still have time, and the next President does have the ability to get rid of this deal. It will be difficult, but as Than said, you can bring up more sanctions. I would let Than talk more, but we got two calls left I want to get to. Let's go to Raj. Raj, you also have been holding on a long time. I know you called back in because your phone dropped, so hang on. We'll get you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. What's your question? We're running out of time. I want to get to Debbie as well.
Thank the Lord. The Lord our God has blessed the work of your hands. Jay, I thank God for you and all your Jordan and all the people who are working with you. May God bless you. Now, you have done an enormous amount of work. We sought legal action, but here I believe it's been a failure, an abject failure of the Speaker of the House.
Well, Raj, I do think that this is a time when, first of all, and I'm only cutting you off because I'm going to let Debbie, I'm going to Debbie. Debbie, you've also been on the line. Raj, I appreciate your support. We'll get into that call, more of your discussion next week on the show. But Debbie in Texas, hang on as well. We're going to get you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance, just like Raj, because we had to cut him off. And you got about 10 seconds, Debbie, but I think we can answer your question real quick.
Can and will Congress call a special session with the new information coming out?
Than, is that possible?
They could call one, but they won't. And by the way, what really needs to be done can't be done by Congress at this point.
Okay, so folks, there is your answer, unfortunately. Hey, stay up to date on ACLJ.org. This ICANN matter before the courts, an emergency review today. We'll talk to you next week.
The Obama administration is corrupt and unethical. In fact, it's the most lawless administration in history. Now the ACLJ is focused on exposing the truth behind a new watchdog report that reveals the Obama administration wrongfully granted citizenship to individuals from countries with ties to terrorism. Sign on to our petition to hold the Obama administration accountable. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, ACLJ.